tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, variety programs from the Armed Forces Radio Service. Later on, it's Command Performance. But right now, an episode of Mail Call, their 111th program for the Armed Forces Radio Service from September 27th, 1944. From the same year that Jenny Sims was in one of her Hollywood triumphs, Broadway Rhythm, alongside George Murphy and Gloria DeHaven. We'll hear her sing popular numbers from the period, also hear from comedian Jimmy Durante. It's Mail Call from September 27th, 1944.
Mail Call from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Here's Mail Call. One big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Tonight's Mail Call is beamed to the British Isles in tribute to the men who run the radio stations of the American Forces Network. And on hand to put the power, push, and appeal into that beam is a girl who sounds as beautiful as she looks. You asked for, and now you have her. Jenny Sims.
Thank you, Don Wilson, and greetings to all you fellows out there who are doing such a fine job of operating the AFN. Well, I received a lot of letters from you fellows since I last appeared on Mail Call. I think this will be a good time to answer them. The majority of the requests are for a tune by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke. It's one of the top ballads at this edition. As this edition hits the air, it could happen to you. I'd like to sing it for you now. Let's do it.
It happened to me.
you very, very much. And now we turn to something a little more...
One moment, my fragile little tomato. I'd like a word with you if I'm not too incongruous.
Why, Jimmy Durante. Did you say you wanted a word with me?
Yes, perhaps several. I know several. And there's no sense just letting them lay around doing nothing.
All right, what's on your mind?
Without further ado, may I proffer my business card?
Your business card? Let's see. James Durante, impresario, entrepreneur, connoisseur, bon vivant extraordinaire. My, sounds very impressive.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that I'm only a janitor. But be that notwithstanding, after hearing the dulcet tones of your thrushlight singing voice, they didn't think I could go through with it. I'll do it again to make sure that I know it. But be that notwithstanding, after hearing the dulcet tones of your thrush-like singing voice, I'm in a position to make you a proposition.
Oh, a proposition.
Not the kind you're thinking of. Remember, I'm only a civilian.
Well, what sort of offer is it, Jimmy? Something to do with my singing?
Precisely. Did you ever stop to think that if you had some training, you might be a success?
But, Jimmy, I have had training.
Ah, but not by the right teacher. Who is the greatest musical genius in the world today? Who does Toscanini call up when he's in trouble? Who does Tchaikovsky turn to when things look black?
You don't mean...
Yes, Umbriago.
Umbriago? Umbriago is really a great music teacher?
Great. Why, without him, Beethoven don't give a beat. Wagner don't give a wag, and Damrosch... Well, you get the idea?
Yes, I think I do.
Do I detest the note of levity in your voice, my good woman?
Oh, no. I'm very much interested.
Just consider our list of satisfied clients. Take Bing Crosby, for instance. Before Bing took Umbriago's course, what was he? A bum. Look at him now. A beautiful home, money in the bank.
And four children.
You're talking about the advanced course. I love that kind of carrying on.
Tell me, who were some of your other pupils?
Who were some of our other pupils?
Yes.
Well, John Charles Thomas, to name a few. I thought you wasn't going to get that. And, of course, Rudy Vallee.
Rudy Vallee?
Yeah, and boy, what a job Umbriago did on that guy. Do you know that when we first got hold of Vallee, he was singing through his mouth?
No.
Of a certain tune. However, to return to Umbriago, I can say unequivocally and without fear of successful contradiction that in the limbo of glissando and arpeggio, not to mention allegro con moto, there is no one whose perceptive capabilities compare with this monotonous prestidigitator.
Why, Jimmy, how can you say that?
Now that I look at it, I wonder how I made it myself.
Well, Jimmy, you're a good salesman, all right, but I think that I'd be safer with an outside opinion. Do you mind if I leave this up to someone I think is qualified to know?
Certainly not. Call the bum over.
Oh, Johnny Mercer.
Yes, Jimmy.
Johnny, I'd like you to meet Jimmy Durante.
Glad to know you, Jimmy.
The pleasure is likewise. I'm mutual.
Well, Johnny's a singer, Jimmy, so naturally he'll be interested in Umbriago's method of voice culture.
Yes, I'm very much interested. Can you explain it to me, Jimmy?
Can I explain it? Just ask me anything you want to know, any question at all.
Well, how does Umbriago's method compare to the Slavonic method of contrapuntal emphasis through diaphragmatic respiration?
I missed a great opportunity to keep my mouth shut. Listen, Mr. Mercer, let's not get technical. Suffice it to say that a guy like Nelson Eddy would be nowhere today if it wasn't for Umbriago.
Really?
Of course. Why, when Nelson Eddy enrolled in our school, he couldn't sing nothing. And after a half a dozen lessons, out came shortening bread.
How did you accomplish that?
For 6 weeks, we made him goggle with Bisquick.
Well, that's very interesting. It's highly interesting, James, but if you don't mind, I think I'll stick to my own method.
And what if I may be so bold as your method?
Very simple, Jimmy. I start a note in the lower tone chamber, let it run around the esophagus, from where it turns adroitly into the diaphragm, makes a slight reconnaissance over the respiratory canal, and arrives at the larynx in the form of a tone, like this.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something.
What?
Was that trip necessary? You and your upper esophagus. Upper esophagus from it turns adroitly into the diaphragm.
Maybe I better just sing, right, Jenny?
You're right, Johnny. Fellas, here's Johnny Mercer, aided and abetted by Joe Stafford and the Pied Pipers, with their version of Lullaby of Broadway.
Come on along and listen to the Lullaby of Broadway. Hip hooray and ballyhoo, the Lullaby of Broadway.
The rumble of the subway trains, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils that entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's.
When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning.
Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn.
Good night, baby, good night.
Milkman's on his way.
Good night, baby, good night.
Dig that cabaret. Start to hit the hay. We're gonna travel along Broadway.
We'll get a taxi and hop a bus. So come along, folks, and follow us.
From the Battery to Yonkers Town, right up to Yonkers and back on down.
And when we hit all the spots in town, we'll call it a day.
Listen to the lullaby of old Broadway.
Hey, good night.
In the country took themselves a poll. It's called the G.I. Music Popularity Poll. And the band that won wasn't a surprise to anybody. The vote was overwhelmingly in favor of the musical platters recorded by that young man with a horn, Harry James.
Well, Jimmy, the boys and I certainly appreciate the honor of being chosen the favorite G.I. band.
You know, Harry, such a distinction really calls for a speech.
Well, I'm not much on speech-making, Jenny. The band and I would rather show our gratitude by swinging out lightly with our idea of the St. Louis Blues.
wonderful, boys. You really gave the St. Louis Blues a...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't let that trumpet player get away. I want to talk to him.
You want to talk to me?
Yeah. I was just sitting outside listening to you play that horn, kid. Say, you ain't bad. What's your name?
Harry James.
Harry James what?
Just Harry James.
How do you like that? The guy ain't got no last name. Well, never mind, kid. Have you ever heard of the Umbriago School of Music?
No, I don't believe so.
The greatest music school in the country, son. Why don't you let Umbriago take your orchestra in hand?
Yeah, but why?
In no time at all, he'll have them jumping like Guy Lombardo.
That Umbriago must be a genius.
I'll say he is. Have you ever heard of Sammy Kay?
Yeah.
Umbriago won't have nothing to do with him. Tell me, son, what do you do in the daytime?
In the daytime?
Yeah, I mean, how do you make a living? Haven't you got anything steady?
Well, I do quite a bit of platter work.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. But how much can you make being a busboy? You're going about this thing all wrong, kid. How can you convince anybody you're a musician? Look at you. You haven't even got a tuxedo.
Well, I do the best I can, Mr. Durante.
Are you married, son?
Yes, I'm married.
You got it tougher than I thought. You know, I feel sorry for you slaving away all day over a hot trumpet. And what have you got to go home to? Nothing.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
This is really a pitiful case. Is your wife working?
Yes, she is. She works in the movies.
That's no job for a woman walking up and down the aisles all night long, showing people their seats.
Yeah, but that isn't the kind of work she does.
Oh, then she's a cashier. The poor kid. Sitting in one of them cages all day long. She must have a figure like a barracks bag.
Oh, get it.
Well, say, just what does your wife look like, son?
Well, have you ever seen Betty Grable?
How do you like that? Every cluck in the country thinks his wife looks like Betty Grable.
Well, she does.
That's okay, kid. You just keep living in your dreams.
Jimmy, you've made a terrible mistake. Why, Harry James is not only the number one trumpet player in the United States, he actually is married to Betty Grable.
No kidding.
Yes.
I'm flabbergasted. And it's the second time this week my flabber has been gassed. Say, Mr. James.
Yes?
My apologies. Why doesn't my employers inform me of these continuities?
Well, that's all right, Jimmy.
What's the difference? You add a vowel or a noun to the thing. You know, you're more than gracious. And now, Mr. James, may I borrow your trumpet?
What do you want it for?
I'm going to take it and beat Umbriago's brains out.
Jenny, do you mind if I read my commercial right here?
Well, not right here, Don. You see, I was just about to sing another song.
Oh, but gee whiz, I've been practicing all afternoon. I'm hot.
Well, keep it on the burner, Don, and you can do it right after I sing Time Waits for No One, okay?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, joy, oh, rapture.
Clouds in the sky. Time waits for no one, goes on endlessly. It's just like the river flowing out to the sea. Let us grow waits for no one. Let's take love while we may. You find that love is like this. Each precious moment we miss will never, ever return again.
Jenny, that was swell. May I read my commercial now?
Okay, Don.
I'm pretty proud of this. I wrote it all myself. There was a G.I. from Nantucket who kept all his cash in a bucket. But he played some fantan with a card sharp named Dan. And the cash in the bucket, Dan Tuckett.
Tuckett? Shouldn't that be Tuckett?
Did you ever play cards with a G.I.?
No.
Well, believe me, they took it. And no kidding, fellows. Play one game, you can always win. Put part of your pay safely away in soldiers' deposits or G.I. bond.
Well, fellas, no program with Harry James would be complete without hearing his famous arrangement of the King Porter Stomp. So, Harry, push that middle valve down, son. This is Jenny Sims winding up mail call with a special word to you fellows who run the American Forces Network in Britain. We know here that no matter what Hitler puts into the sky against you over there, planes, buzz bombs, and long-distance artillery, he couldn't keep your 44 stations off the air, not even for a minute. And if war is what General Sherman said it was, then you fellows have the satisfaction of knowing that you've made war a little lighter, a little easier to bear, for the millions of guys fighting to get it over. Many of you have gone into France, some of you even into Germany. But wherever you are tonight, this is Jenny Sims saying, may God bless you and keep you all.
Mail call on Tuned to Yesterday from the Armed Forces Radio Service from September 27th, 1944. You're listening to an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, a very entertaining episode of Command Performance broadcast less than a week after the one we just heard on Armed Forces Radio. Their 140th broadcast featuring comedian Jack Benny, musicians Buddy Rich, Les Paul, Tommy Dorsey, Count Basie, and Lionel Hampton, along with Artie Shaw, and movie star Jimmy Cagney. It's Command Performance from September 30th, 1944.
Thank you. Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Okay there, gang. Time to rustle the rump around the rostrum and reel in some ribald raucouses in answer to your request to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Incidentally, this month marks the 5,000th hour of broadcasting from the AES at Tehran in the Persian Gulf Command. And in honor of them, Command Performance has selected as your mistress of ceremonies on this particular stanza the lovely star of Universal Pictures, Deanna Durbin.
Thank you, Don Wilson, and hi, fellas.
Pardon me, Deanna.
What is it, Don?
Well, Deanna, I hate to bother you, but something has just come up, and I think you ought to know about it.
Really?
Yes, you know, Jack Benny's on the program tonight.
Yes, but not till later in the show.
Well, he didn't understand it that way. You see, he's been a master of ceremonies so long, he assumed he was going to run things tonight.
Oh. Well, where's Jack now?
Well, he's backstage mumbling to himself and writing "Down with Deanna Durbin" on all the dressing room doors.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jack is so upset.
But I'm sure that you can straighten things out, Deanna. And when he comes in, be diplomatic, won't you?
Oh, sure.
Here he comes now.
I must be tactful.
Yes.
Gentlemen of the AEF, meet the great comedian who has entertained you in person in almost every theater of operations, Jack Benny.
Thanks, folks. Hi, fellas.
Welcome to Command Performance, Jack.
Thanks, you little sneak.
Now, Jack, you shouldn't feel like that. I was called upon to be mistress of ceremonies here tonight, and just because you misunderstood and thought you were going to take charge is no reason for any hard feelings.
It isn't, huh?
No. No, I realize that you're one of the world's greatest MCs.
You do, huh?
Yes. And I also realize that you've just returned from an extensive tour of our bases in the South Pacific.
And they love me in New Guinea.
Well, I understand that they loved you everywhere. But I should think that after a trip like that and with all that work, you must be awfully tired.
Oh, I am. I'm exhausted.
Then why don't you go over in the corner and sit down?
Now, just a minute. I'm not that weak, young lady. Besides, if you think I came all the way down here just to sit in the corner, you've got another thing coming. Tell you, I don't know what's happening to all the young girls nowadays.
Well, naturally, you don't get around them much.
Now, listen, Deanna, topping me will get you nowhere. If you want to be mistress of ceremonies, run the show. It's all yours, Miss Durbin.
I'd like to present to you now, and I do hope this introduction meets with Mr. Benny's approval, one of the finest instrumentalists and band leaders in the country. You know, folks, I was afraid I was going to be late tonight.
Why, Deanna?
Because when I got here, I couldn't open the door, see? Tommy Dorsey fell.
Thanks, Deanna.
Tommy, I'd like to explain that introduction. You see, it comes from the Jack Benny School of Comedy.
Jack Benny? I remember him. He used to be a very funny guy.
I'm still funny, Junior.
Oh, hello, Jack. What are you doing here?
Up to now, nothing. What are you doing here, Tommy?
Oh, I'm going to take some and leave some with the boys.
That's right. The fellows overseas have sent in lots of requests for an all-American jam session.
Good idea.
So, we've invited the best in the West to beat it out.
In addition to Tommy Dorsey, we have Count Basie at the piano, Buddy Rich at the drums, Illinois Jackett on the tenor sax, Lionel Hampton on the vibes, Artie Shaw on the clarinet, Sergeant Ed McKinney on the bass, Sergeant Ziggy Elman on the trumpet, and Les Paul on the guitar.
Come on, boys, let's go.
That's all right if you want loud stuff. Fellas, let's give them Ida, sweet as apple cider.
And now, fellas.
Quiet up. Get this. Boy, am I hot. I got it, haven't I? I don't know where to put it. Now, cut that out. Listen, Deanne, I don't mind a little kidding, but when I play a beautiful violin solo, give me the credit for it. Nobody else.
Well, Jack, I was just trying to have a little fun. Be clever, like you said.
There's nothing funny about my music, Deanne.
Oh, Jack, calm down. Calm down.
Calm down?
If you and Deanne have a difference of opinion, settle it. But stop bickering.
Settle it? How can I hit a woman?
You don't have to hit anybody.
Well, I'm not the kind of a guy that settles things with words. I'm a two-fisted guy.
What's come over you?
If you want to know something, Don, I beat up Jimmy Cagney on the way to the studio tonight, and he's plenty tough.
You beat up Cagney?
Look, gentlemen, are we going to get on with the show, or are we going to stand here and listen to Mr. Benny flap his gray chops?
Oh, if you were only Cagney.
Jack, stop dreaming. You wouldn't sneeze if Jimmy Cagney threw a handful of pepper in your face.
No, I wouldn't, eh? Well, it just so happens that on the way down here tonight, Cagney bumped into my car, and that's all I needed, brother.
Still sounds fantastic.
Is that so? Well, I'll tell you what. Ginger Rogers was driving along. She saw the accident. You call her up tomorrow and ask her. She'll tell you how tough I was.
Well, we don't have to wait to call her tomorrow, Jack. It so happens she's standing in the wings right now. Come on out, Ginger. Hello, Deanna.
Hello, Ginger.
Trouble with this show, everybody's on it.
Why, hello, Jack. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Jeepers.
Oh, Ginger, Jack was just telling us that you were a witness to a little accident. What happened?
Oh, it's not important. I'm not suing Cagney or anything. Let's forget about it.
No. I'd like to know what happened.
Well...
Say, Ginger, yes. That's a beautiful hat. May I wear it sometime?
Got an umbrella of mine that you borrowed in 1929.
Well, I've been meaning to return it. You know.
Oh, now quit stalling, Jack. What about the accident?
What are you, an ambulance chaser or something? We're talking about Ginger's hat.
Come on, Ginger. Tell us about the accident.
Well, we were all driving east on Sunset, and Jack was waving at me and giggling and honking his horn.
Well, sure I was giggling. I mean, the springs in my front seat are all sticking through.
Naturally, Jack's car got out of control, and he smacked into Cagney's fender.
That'll be decided in court, Miss Rogers.
Then things started to happen. Jack was really mad. He jumped out of his car. Cagney jumped out of his car. Jack jumped back into his car. What's that?
Well, I bawled Cagney out. You can't deny that.
Oh, that's right. He really dressed Jimmy down.
Mm. You're darn right I did.
Well, of course, Jack locked the door and rolled up the windows first.
I did not. There's not a window in my car.
Not now, there isn't. Now, never forget the look on Jack's face when he saw Jimmy's fist coming through the windshield.
Well, he didn't hit me.
How could he? You had your head in the glove compartment.
I was looking for my tear gas fountain pen. Lucky for Cagney, I didn't find it. Believe me, if he ever opens his mouth to me again, I'll fix his wagon.
You will, huh?
Yes.
Well, Jack, what would you say if I told you that right now, Jimmy Cagney was standing right in back of you?
Well, that's just the... Yikes!
Jimmy Cagney, fellas.
Well, hello, Ginger. Deanna.
Hello, Jimmy. Mm.
Well, if it isn't Barney Oldfield.
Now, I know someplace I've got a laugh here. I don't know where it is. Listen, don't try to laugh it off, Cagney. You scratch my fender, it's going to cost you about $300 to have it touched up.
Who's doing the painting for you, Rembrandt?
That happens to be his name, Morty Rembrandt. 1820 Temple Street. Open evenings. I'll have Morty send you the bill.
Look, Jack, you better drop the whole thing, or I'll start an action against you to collect for the damage to my car.
You'll have some job getting anything out of me, brother.
I'll get some dough out of you if I have to dig up your whole front yard.
You can dig all you want, but if you haven't got the map, you're a dead duck. Besides, Cagney, I've got a witness. She saw the whole thing, Ginger Rogers.
Why, I couldn't testify for you, Jack. After all, you bumped into Jimsy.
Jimsy? Jimsy? Well, I can see where I stand here.
Well, I think Ginger's being very fair.
Fair meaning she's not a brunette. Listen, Ginger, you can look at this accident any way you want to.
Look, Jack, you're acting like a little boy.
Yep, an old, broken-down little boy. Jack, once and for all, let's drop the whole thing, or you're going to pay for my fender.
Oh, I am, eh? Well, I can see there's only one way out. We'll settle this man to man. Do you fight?
Quite a bit.
What else do you do?
I dance.
Well, let's dance and settle this.
I hate to break up these beautiful hostilities, but we've got to get back to command performance. There's a letter here addressed to Jimmy Cagney from the Brooklyn gang at APO 885. It seems that Gowanus Gus, Flatbush Flanagan, Demitas McGuire of Boro Hall, Left Field Louie from Ebbets Field, and Sand Flea Phil from Coney Island have a special request.
What is it, Diana?
Well, they say they haven't had a chance to see you in pictures lately, but they sure remember some of those tough guy parts you used to do. So they want you to pick somebody on command performance tonight and punch them in the jaw.
Well, let's see now. Who all's on the show?
Well, there's me, Martha Tilton, Ginger Rogers...
And Don Wilson. Good old Don.
And then, of course, there's you, Jackie.
Now she gets friendly.
Well, I'd like to oblige the boys from Brooklyn. It looks like you're it, Jackie. I'm game if you are.
Who goes on the game end? Why can't I do the punching? I've been in some pretty tough pictures myself, you know.
Brutal is the word.
Don't evade the issue. Why can't I hit you?
Because this is command performance, and we've got to answer the requests exactly as they come in.
Very well. I'm ready. First, there's something I'd like to see. Gentlemen, I regret I have but one jaw to give to my country.
Also, that you ever took your head out of that glove compartment.
Please, Ginger, there's no time for levity. Go ahead, Jimmy, and remember, I'm not a kid anymore.
Well, here goes. No, can't do it. I can't do it.
Come on, you coward. Come on.
Okay.
Ow! Ow!
Thank you, Jimmy Cagney. And will the gentleman who caught Mr. Benny's toupee kindly return it to the stage?
Jack, are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. You were supposed to fake that punch, Cagney, and you really let me have it. Now it's my turn, brother.
Oh, take it easy, Jack. Take it easy.
Take it easy, nothing. Put up your dukes. Now take that.
And will the gentleman who caught Mr. Benny kindly return him to the stage? While the ushers are reviving Mr. Benny, this seems a good time to say that we've had an awful lot of requests to have Jimmy Cagney sing some of the songs from Yankee Doodle Dandy. How about it, James?
Very glad to, Diana, very glad to. And incidentally, I want to thank all the fellas in the ETO who treated me so wonderfully when I was visiting them recently. I really got a great bang out of it, and that's no fooling. And for me to tell you that you're doing a great job is like telling Abbott and Costello who's on first. Anyhow, with a bow to George M. Cohen, here it is.
You're
a grand old flag. You're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or a brag. What should old acquaintance be forgot? Keep your eye on the grand old flag. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle, do or die. A real life nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Now Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the pony. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
Well, gang, that kind of wraps up another bundle of whatever you want to call it. Incidentally, we'd like to hear from you if you have any extra special people or things you'd like to hear. We got that note from you guys down at the Atterbrin Hotel in downtown Guadalcanal. And we got some ideas for you that we're sending along. Meantime...
Pardon me, Deanna. I'd just like to say that if any of my fans are worried about me, I'm perfectly okay. That punching business was just a little gag. I'd give that Cagney a Mickey Finn if I didn't think he'd enjoy it. Good night, fellas.
And this is Deanna Durbin saying, the best of the best from the USA. Good night.
Command Performance, on Tuned To Yesterday from September 30th, 1944, on Armed Forces Radio. And that brings to a close this hour of variety on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.